In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner. Good morning, everybody out there in Radio Land. I hope you were present for Dr. Rachel Spaeth and Garden Talk this morning. She had some stunning revelations about how to make our garden grow better, and also some fantastic Pennsylvania Dutch recipes that will grace her Thanksgiving table. It was good listening this morning. I know that many of you do not listen to every single episode, although I'd wish you did, of the Good Food Hour over the last 38 years. And perhaps you missed our wonderful conversation that John Ash and I had last year with chef author Cara Mangini. Cara has written two outstanding books. The first one that we talked about when she was in the studio with us was called The Vegetable Butcher. It ended up winning a 2017 IACP Award. It won the People's Choice Award. It was incredible for the first time out of the gate. I think she actually won two awards possibly for that. Oh, yeah, and also single subject. So she won two awards for that first book. And we talked about her most recent book last year called The Vegetable Eater. That book, just a couple of weeks ago, won another award, also from the IACP, the International Association of Culinary Professionals. They do a yearly cookbook award presentation in fall for books that are published the previous year. So this Vegetable Eater book came out in 2024, and that's when Cara visited John Ash and me. So this one just won Best Single Subject Cookbook. So she's a two-time winner. And with that, we say good morning to Cara. Hi, how are you, Cara?
Good morning. I'm doing really well, especially after that lovely introduction. Thank you so much.
Well, it was no exaggeration. I'm just recounting your accomplishments as an award-winning cookbook author. And have you received any congratulations from fellow cooks and chefs and authors?
Absolutely. They continue to come in, actually, and it's so lovely, and I'm so grateful to get to share my love for this book and to hear that it's really, people have really been enjoying it. And it's lovely to hear from other authors. So yes, absolutely. I've been celebrating.
Well, we had a great time when we had the honor of your company for an hour. And I know, as I was mentioning, I would like to believe that people hear every single Saturday morning show, but I know many of them haven't. And many people, your name is new to them and your books are new to them. So I wanted to go back and talk a little bit about The Vegetable Butcher, which actually came out in 2016, right? And then it won the 2017 yes. IACP Cookbook Awards. So I remember a couple of things you told John and me that surprised me, and that was, here you're writing a book called The Vegetable Butcher, and that you told us on the air that your grandpa or great-grandpa, that were both butchers?
Yes, I come from a family of traditional Italian butchers. And so I turned that family craft, turned it around and applied it to my work with vegetables. And I think there's a really similar, people go to the butcher, traditional butcher, for advice, for good quality products, certainly, but also for all that knowledge that they carry from doing that same craft over and over. And I feel like, what I do with vegetables hopefully provides that same level of expertise for people, that I can share all the tips and tricks and recipes that I've learned along the way.
Well, it's absolutely a brilliant, I don't know whether there's a marketing strategy, but when you're looking at cookbooks on the shelf and you see something called The Vegetable Butcher, you stop right away and think, what? It turns your world upside down. And I think it's an invitation to think about vegetables in a different way.
Absolutely. And I think, a big part of what I do is just vegetable education. I feel like all of us, no matter what we choose to eat or not eat, are interested in eating more vegetables. And we can't really do that if we don't intuitively know how to pick them up and break them down. That includes all the knife skills that come with it, and then turn them into whether it be a side dish or a main meal. And I've been really fortunate, you know, with this particular book. People tell me all the time, they keep going back to that book. It's a book they keep on the shelf because not only does it really give you great recipes, but it's a real reference as well. If you're looking to, you know, if you're farmers market shopping or just want to introduce new types of vegetables or just want a reminder of, you know, how do I mash potatoes or roast broccoli or, you know, what should I do with fennel? It's sort of always giving you that, those basics in addition to kind of taking it to the next level.
Yeah, I love the format of the book. It was easy to navigate, especially since it was done alphabetically, which was just a wonderful idea, with starting with asparagus or artichokes or arugula, bok choy. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, broccoli and cabbage, and I could probably get most of those if I get to Z. Yeah. But it was really easy to follow. And also, I remember that you owned a restaurant briefly in, was it Columbus, Ohio?
I did. And the goal there was the same, was really to help people, you know, enjoy vegetables more and make them more convenient for people. So it was really based on, back to my Italian heritage, this idea of a Italian deli, beautiful foods and also provisions, things, you know, made by local artisans, but all vegetable based. So we had incredible salads that changed with the season, and essentially you could get 3 or 4 scoops of those seasonal salads. They changed with the seasons, and we sourced directly from local farmers. And then beautiful sandwiches, deli style sandwiches, all stacked with beautiful, delicious vegetables. Frittata and crostini. And again, that's sort of based on that Italian deli, which I was, from a young age, was really just enamored with that, caught my neighborhood deli. Mm-hmm. And so I created one. It was really the idea of, like, sort of the vegetable butcher creating this vegetable centered deli experience.
And didn't the Washington Post name your restaurant in Columbus one of the, what was it, 50 best restaurants in the world to eat vegetables?
One of the top 50 plant-based restaurants in the world. It was an incredible honor. Absolutely. So I'm trying to pour all of that those recipes and knowledge and that work, you know, day in and day out with vegetables into my book, so that, again, people can feel really comfortable and confident cooking with vegetables. But, you know, when you are working with, you know, focusing on the vegetables, especially in the restaurant space, and sourcing directly from local farmers, you know, we just had cases and cases of produce, and it's a lot of breaking down of vegetables. So I try and share those skills with people to make it easier in your home kitchen.
I looked through my copy of The Vegetable Butcher and made some notes about the recipes that I had noted last year, and I wanted to mention some of those again to you, which really seemed to sparkle for me. And carrots, which don't get a lot of love in your book, they do, because you
oh, thank you.
The Turkish carrot yogurt dip?
That recipe is one of my all-time favorites, and it's, so I love that you mention it. It's one that I hear from people all the time that they love, and they're just surprised at how extraordinary and delicious it is and how easy it is. It's a great thing for especially this time of year. It's wonderful, just a dip to keep in the refrigerator, but also one to share at any celebration throughout the year. It's just these caramelized, you just shred the carrots and cook them in oil. They sort of sizzle and become caramelized, and then you pour it warm, the shredded carrots and olive oil and a little garlic into yogurt with pine nuts. And it's so simple and so, so good. And you can dip raw vegetables into that. You can serve it with crackers or crostini, but that is one of my all-time favorite recipes.
Was this inspired by a trip to Turkey?
Yes, I spent a couple summers cooking in Turkey, and that was a recipe that a woman that I cooked with shared with me, and it was instantly something that was just so extraordinary. And so I have all these wonderful memories associated with it, but it's something that's, I think, just one of those recipes that if you're not sure how you, first of all, if you love carrots, you're going to love it. If you don't love carrots, you're going to love it. If you're not sure how you feel about vegetables in general, you will love this recipe. If you feel like, oh, it's so complicated to cook with vegetables, this recipe is one that you can absolutely do. And you don't even need a knife. You can just shred, you know, you can just shred your carrots on a box grater. So yes, it's a very special recipe with very special memories associated with it.
Well, with your Italian background, I really appreciated your love of Italian centered vegetables like broccolini. I know people very close to me that do not care for broccoli, but yet like broccolini.
Yes. Well, are you thinking now broccolini or broccoli rabe or both?
Is broccolini different than broccoli rabe?
Yes. It's good. I'm glad we're talking about it. So both broccolini, I think you're right about broccolini and broccoli. I just have, for some reason, I had broccoli rabe on the mind. But broccolini, yes, I think that I find that the standard broccoli is a little bit stronger. Mm-hmm. And also, I think that just the shape, it's interesting also when you watch children eating broccoli, that you kind of see they're like the stem kids and then there are the floret kids. And I think it sort of goes the same as we're adults. But sort of it's a texture thing. So with broccolini, you get more of the stem, which I think is extraordinary flavor and texture, a little and a less of that floret. So mm-hmm. I can see how some people might like a larger crown and a standard broccoli and maybe enjoy the broccolini a little more where it's more focused on the stem. And we talk about broccoli raw, then we're getting to really a different flavor profile. And often, though, I have to say that it's the texture that often, you know, is what people respond to. But broccoli rabe has this wonderful bitter flavor. And it's a bitter flavor we don't often, it's a very Italian, you know, the flavor profile that's used in the cooking. And I really love it and I rely on it, especially because so much of our cooking can have a very sweet or salty flavor profile. And that little touch of bitter that comes from broccoli rabe, I think, is just extraordinary. And that's what you get from broccoli rabe. That's just that it's a good bitter flavor. And once you get to know it, I think you start to crave it.
We're going to take a short break. But before we do, I want to also call out the Brussels sprouts recipe on our farmer's market call-in, which we do every Saturday on Garden Talk. We were informed that the giant just dug stalks of Brussels sprouts are at the market. So you can have like a 4-foot stalk with the Brussels sprouts attached. It's really stunning and would be great on your Thanksgiving table. And that reminded me of the shredded Brussels sprout recipe you have with the pomegranate seeds and the walnuts and the manchego cheese.
It's out of this world delicious. And those stalks of Brussels sprouts are even sweeter and more delicious when they come right off the stalk.
We'll take a break and we'll come back and chat with your most recent winning book, The Vegetable Eater. Our special guest this morning is Cara Mangini, and I'm Steve Garner in the KSRO Kitchen. Back after, 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Don't go away.
It's that time again, Sonoma County. The mornings are cooler, the warm blankets are coming out, and your furnace is waking up after a long summer nap. Make sure it's ready for the season with Henry Mechanical's $19.99 furnace tune-up special. Just $19.99. That's it. To have Henry's trusted HVAC pros check your system, clean it, and make sure it's running safely and efficiently so you stay warm all winter long. Yeah, you heard right. Just $19.99. And remember, Henry Mechanical is home of the free second opinion. A call to Henry Mechanical could save you a bunch on expensive repairs. So cuddle up with your favorite furry friend and tune up today for a toasty tomorrow. Call Henry Mechanical today or visit henrymechanical.com. Serving Sonoma County with your comfort in mind since 1992. Henry Mechanical. Tune up today for a toasty tomorrow. henrymechanical.com, home of the free second opinion.
Scott Silvera. When you need a new SUV or truck, think Silvera. Serving Sonoma County for 71 years.
Do you like seeing the same faces in sales and service?
Think Silvera. There's value in seeing the same faces when you purchase your vehicle or coming in for service.
And who doesn't like looking at a great selection of vehicle trims and colors?
With over 550 new GMCs, Chevys, and used vehicles in stock and in transit, Silvera has what you're looking for.
And after the sale,
think Silvera again. Known for going beyond expectations long after the sale, with courtesy vehicles, shuttles to downtown Healdsburg, and more.
And do you own a business? Do you need a commercial truck?
Think Silvera. We are professional grade with a commercial truck center.
Whatever your automotive needs, think Silvera.
Silvera.
Think Silvera GMC in Healdsburg. Silvera Chevrolet in the town of Sonoma. And online at silveraautos.com.
Hi, John here. Owner of Valhalla Hi-Fi in Santa Rosa. Music isn't just something you hear, it's something you feel. At Valhalla Hi-Fi, we bring you world-class sound systems designed to reveal every detail, every emotion, every note, just as the artist intended. Step into our listening room on 4th Street and experience music on a whole new level. You'll feel as if the artists are performing just for you.
Valhalla Hi-Fi, where hearing is believing. More at ValhallaHiFi.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
And we're on to the second award-winning cookbook written by Kara Mangini, my special guest this morning. Her first book, which you heard us talk about, The Vegetable Butcher. Her newest one, The Vegetable Eater, which came out last year, also won an IACP Cookbook Award just a couple of weeks ago for Best Single Subject Cookbook. Wouldn't that be a nice gift pack for the cook in your life for the holidays? See, I'm selling gift packs of your books, Kara.
Thank you. I love it. Would be a great gift.
So how did you approach vegetables from a different angle for the latest book?
This book is really about how to turn vegetables into a complete meal. What I found when I was talking for years about The Vegetable Butcher, you know, people started to get comfortable with that idea of introducing vegetables into their diets, feeling more comfortable and confident, breaking them down, and you know, working with simple preparations to kind of bring them into everyday cooking. With The Vegetable Eater, you know, I found that people would just say to me, but what do I make for dinner? You know, if I want to cook with vegetables, how do I turn that into a meal? And so really this book is my answer to that. This is how you turn vegetables into the meals that really support your lives. And that means both a weeknight dinner, that means a special occasion meal, that means a simple weekday lunch. You know, when you're eating with vegetables, it can be a little bit overwhelming and confounding to figure out how do you compose the plate when it's made up of vegetables. And this book really helps you figure that out. And I think create some formulas so that you can also cook off the cuff and do it on your own based on the vegetables that are in season at that given moment.
I love the format of this book, and it was quite different than The Vegetable Butcher. This one starts off with the entree-worthy salads, then moves into soups, chilies and stews, sandwiches, tacos, pizza, quesadillas, and then a riff on different kind of toasts out there. Pizza, then we get to grain bowls and noodle bowls, followed by part two, in which you write about the second law of flavor. Flavor fabulous, predictable patterns. This is kind of an intellectual approach to how to formulate these vegetable dishes.
Yeah, and you know what? I really wanted people to connect to the dish. So when you're thinking about what do you want to eat for dinner, or what do you feel like making for a special occasion meal, you kind of think about the dish that you feel like, kind of. And I wanted that to feel familiar. So the vegetables come with this based on the season. This is really about sort of connecting with the style of dish so that already you feel like, okay, I enjoy a pizza, or I would love this, you know, I feel like pasta tonight, or a steak, or a sheet pan meal, or a frittata, or a stew. And from there, you build a beautiful dish with vegetables. And hopefully, I'm glad that you said, put a lot of, that was really by design, that people could already feel comfortable and confident with this style of cooking by connecting with the type of dish.
I have a sticky note on page 98. You don't remember what's on page 98. I don't expect you to.
No, I'm curious. I'm like, what's on page 98?
Beet and avocado sandwich with pickled onions and chive goat cheese.
So this sandwich, it's a beet and avocado sandwich. It is one of the best-selling items from my restaurants that people came consistently over and over to come for this sandwich. It is absolutely delicious. It's my answer to that, you know, a sandwich can be even more delicious made up of vegetables, and it's really the way that you treat the vegetables and the way that you pair them that it can have that just extraordinary flavor. And also, I think one of the most important things that many people can become sort of worried about or overwhelmed about, that they will be hungry with this style of cooking. So it's really about building balance, not only in flavor, but just in ingredients, textures, et cetera, when you're building something like a sandwich. And this was my answer to all of those vegetable-based kind of mealy tomato, cheese, and a kind of limp piece of lettuce sandwich. This is a stacked, delicious, incredible sandwich. And it starts, I should say, with a very easy preparation of the beets, which is boiling them with a little bit of apple cider vinegar, garlic, and bay leaf. And it really infuses the beet. So there definitely, I've learned there are beet haters and there are beet lovers. And there's often not a lot of people in between. And I think this way of cooking, sometimes it can be just too earthy. And for some people, this style of cooking the beets, where you have that little bit of acid, it cooks in that vinegar and it mellows that earthiness out, and you just pull the sweetness from them. And I can't say enough of how delicious this fabulous recipe.
I love the chapter on sour. I went out and bought some pomegranate molasses after reading your book, and I use it with impunity everywhere. It seems to improve everything I sprinkle on, especially roasted vegetables of any kind. So thank you for including that really provocative chapter about sour and how important that is. Then we go into noodle bowls and fritters and meatballs. Yes, meatballs made with the what do you use for the beef substitute in meatballs?
Well, in that case, I use black beans.
Black beans.
You know, it's really, excuse me.
Okay, black beans for the, and the kofta-style meatballs.
For the meatballs, for spaghetti and meatballs, black beans and bulgur, and you just get that texture. It's really important to me that vegetables shine on their own and that bring all the extraordinary flavor that they bring. So I think of it like there's fennel seed in there. But you get sort of the hints of that flavor, but you can, and it's sort of the texture that's something that feels familiar. But really still the vegetables and those beans stand on their own to make something that's kind of on its own super delicious and familiar to people.
Winter, fall recipes, layered casseroles, that really called to me. Savory pies, something you can do a one-dish dinner like you mentioned, enchiladas. You do a great lasagna with butternut squash with chard, a mushroom and Swiss chard with salsa verde, a free-form spring tart with a crust with vegetables. So I like that. You have enchilada, frittata, crostata, testrata. It's all there in that chapter, which was a lot of fun. And dessert was not left out either.
Every beautiful meal's got to have a little dessert.
Yeah, the strawberry citrus olive oil cake, that was a star.
It's a beautiful cake, and what I love about it, what I tried to do with the desserts, really do things that are also produce inspired. So that cake you can really cook throughout the year and change up the fruit. So yes, in the spring and into the summer you can use strawberries or peaches, even blueberries, but you know, this time of year you could just leave out the fruit and just really let the citrus flavors shine with all the beautiful citrus we have right now. You could add persimmon, a Fuyu persimmon. You could do pear. But that's the goal of that cake, and it's really outstanding.
Very, very versatile. And one more, your grandmother's recipe for blueberry jam crustata with a shortbread, a press-in crust. Really simple. It's a beautiful recipe. Thanks for including
Thank
that
you.
One. It is,
Thank you.
Those both books are definitely worthy of your attention. The Vegetable Eater and The Vegetable Butcher, both multiple IACP Cookbook Award winners. The author is Kara Mangini. Her last name is spelled M-I-M-A-N-G-I-N-I. It was wonderful talking with you again.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And I love talking about vegetables, obviously. So
I'm
thrilled.
Well,
we'd
love to have you back on the show in the studio next time, okay?
I look forward to it.
Okay, take care, Kara. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
We'll take a break and come back. I want to let people know that we have just posted one of John Ash's best recipe package. Not turkey, not stuffing, but this will knock your socks off. Go to the KSRO website, the Good Food Hour. Bring up the recipes. You'll find Cranberries, an American original by John Ash, and he covers the gamut of everything you can think to do with cranberries, from cranberry liqueur, cranberry ketchup. Oh, yes, there's much more. Baked ricotta with spiced cranberries. Why not cranberry sorbet? Oh, if that's not your float your boat, what about fresh cranberry sauce with tangerine and mint? What about steamed cranberry pudding? How about cranberry clafoutis? Fresh cranberry vinaigrette? Wild rice salad with cranberries and pecans? It's all there. It'll liven up your Thanksgiving table. Check it out on the Good Food Hour website. Back with another great cookbook author and Cookbook Award winner right after this.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
The Cotati Farmers Market is proud to bring you the 10th annual Cotati Shop and Stroll, Saturday, December 6th from 11 to 5 on Old Redwood Highway in downtown Cotati. You'll find a vibrant marketplace with over 90 local artisans, farmers, and businesses, including restaurant-quality food booths, chocolates, bakeries, and handmade crafts. This family-festive event features live music, pictures with Santa, marble races at Heinz Signs, pony rides, and a chance to win raffle prizes with Passport Bingo. Visit the Cotati Chamber of Commerce booth for beer and wine to sip as you stroll. It's a great way to start your holiday shopping. This is a benefit for the Cotati Farmers Market, so the residents of Cotati have access to fresh local produce all summer long. The 10th annual Cotati Shop and Stroll, Saturday, December 6th from 11 to 5 on Old Redwood Highway in downtown Cotati. Sponsored by the City of Cotati, Recology, Stone's Throw, and Heinz Signs. Info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
Thank you!
Thanks to benefactors like Freeman Toyota, Read On Sonoma has grown from 7 participating schools last year to 12 schools this year. The number of students being served has more than doubled. 85% of Read On Sonoma students met their goal in the last school year, up from 43% just 2 years ago. Most importantly, average reading comprehension on quizzes is 91%. Freeman Toyota's commitment to these children's future is making all the difference. Designed as a fun and rewarding game, Read On Sonoma motivates students to improve their comprehension and reading habits. Reading is essential for success in school and life. Listen to this. The average fourth grader's reading level has increased by 3.5 grades since the 21-22 school year. These Read On Sonoma students reach the program's goal of reading at grade level by the time they finish fourth grade. Learn more about Freeman Toyota's dedication to educating all our children at readonsonoma.org.
Transform your home with Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors from DJ's Sash and Glass. DJ's is a Milgard certified dealer, so your choices are wide open when it comes to selecting beautifully designed Milgard windows and patio doors. Add a touch of class to your glass. Call DJ's Sash and Glass at 546-7344. Online at djsglass.com. djsglass.com. Service when you need it.
The opioid crisis continues to claim lives in the North Bay, where an average of 12 people die per month from drug overdose in Sonoma County alone. I'm Jason Walsh with North Bay Biz Magazine. This month, check out our section on addiction treatment and the efforts of CenterPoint DAC, the Drug Abuse Alternative Center, whose mobile units and medication-assisted treatment model are saving lives. But timing is critical and funds growing scarce. For those gripped by addiction, it's a matter of life and death at northbaybiz.com.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following the clear and cold overnight, we can look to another sunny afternoon with daytime highs in the mid to high 60s. In the evening, a few passing clouds and around a 10% chance of showers should leave us with overnight lows in the mid to low 40s. Looking ahead, there is around a 30% chance of rain returning by Friday. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner. Delighted to have you listening this morning, because if you're being challenged by what to get for that cook in your life that you just can't figure out, do they really need another doodad? No, they don't. They need to clean out their drawers. But they do need some great cookbooks to inspire them in the new year. And we have a couple to recommend for you. We first met Matt Rudbard back in 2023. John Ash and I received the book Food IQ, 100 Questions, Answers, and Recipes to Raise Your Cooking Smarts. And it was a great read. It's so much fun, so much interesting information, but the information was serious, but their approach that Matt wrote with, along with Daniel Holtzman, was not. It was joyful. Questions like, Germans, Israelis, Italians, Popeyes, who makes the best chicken cutlet? Now, these are type of questions that do keep me up at night, too. How do I cook pasta? Why does it always taste better in a restaurant? Food IQ was the first book. Then we got a copy of another book featuring Korean food. And this one knocked us out. And then that was followed up by another book on Korean food called Korea World, a cookbook, and these books both won numerous awards. The IACP awards were announced a couple of weeks ago. These are one of the great cookbook award competitions in America. And Korea World, a cookbook, did not win an award. They won two awards, Best Book Design and the most prestigious award of all, the Julia Child Best Cookbook of the Year for Korea World. And with that, I say good morning to Matt Rudbard. Matt, thanks for joining me today.
Well, Steve, that was such an introduction. I feel so grateful that you followed the journey, and it's great to be speaking with Californians this morning.
Well, a lot of people, there's thousands of cookbooks out there, and as much as people love cookbooks, there's many that just fly under the radar, that when they're looking to buy a cookbook, and they might overlook what you have and your writing partner Dookie Hong have accomplished with these two books that really encompass the world of Korean cooking, that's approachable for us Westerners that may not be as familiar with the terminology and the ingredients, the people that are really in the culinary world. So the first book, let's talk about that a little bit. You explored the Korea towns around America. Is that a fair assessment of how that book was formatted?
Yeah, sure. You know, Koreatown, we published in 2016 with Clarkson Potter. And, you know, at that time, we were writing about Korean food over a decade ago. There was still a lot to be known for the general home cook. I think if you fast forward to today, the flavors of Korea and, of course, Korean culture is prevalent in the world through film and through music, and of course, so many great Korean chefs. But if you rewind, you know, it was really a time when Korean food was known for kimchi, mm-hmm. and perhaps barbecue. Mm-hmm. So at that, you know, given that context, we created we wrote Korea Town just to kind of, you know, get into dishes that were outside of what those two categories. And so we were exploring Korean communities in America. So places like Los Angeles, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, and really it's kind of our first book, and it's really a lot of foundational recipes.
Well, we think of Los Angeles as, I think, the epicenter for Korean cooking in the States. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's definitely that. We are absolutely thinking about the Korean diaspora being in Los Angeles. I mean, LA is the center of really the Korean thought in America, and really Korean food is found in many different formats and formations in LA, and really that's because of 40 years of immigration there. So really, I think your listeners may go down there quite often, but you're going to find specialized restaurants, you're going to find general restaurants, and you're going to find everything in between.
It makes sense that L.A. and New York have become epicenters for Korean cuisine. How did Atlanta get in the mix?
Well, Atlanta is a good story. I mean, the north suburbs of Atlanta, like Duluth, Georgia, is really a place where a lot of immigrants came in the 80s. And I think that a big reason of that is the climate. I think a lot of Koreans were interested in moving there because of just like better climate and really the affordability of living in America.
So that's why the South. It shows my naivete that not realizing that Korean food was a big thing in Atlanta. So are those the three big metropolitan areas where they find the biggest concentration of Korean restaurants?
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. I would say right now, I mean, at least at the time we were writing that book, it's changed a bit because I think you see a lot of Korean communities moving to, the West Coast and where you live in the Bay Area. But I have to say, those are the three biggest communities.
Well, we're starting to see it, even in our area here in Sonoma County, more influences of Korean cuisine. It's starting to show up, but it's slowly coming up this way. San Francisco still has a lot of, between that and Oakland and the East Bay, a lot of Korean-inspired restaurants. And also Korean markets are a big thing, food markets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, you've got so many different markets around with the H-Mart. Of course, we know the popularity of H-Mart from that great novel or the memoir. But that company in particular has really expanded over all of America. So, I think that you're seeing the ingredients available in many different places across America.
Your writing partner, Dookie Hong, what is he up to now? Is he still based in the Bay Area?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yes. He is a chef in the Bay Area, and he is doing a lot of exciting things in San Francisco right now.
That's wonderful. I'm sorry we didn't have a chance to talk with him, but maybe someday he'll be able to join us for a three-way here on the radio. Even if you don't know anything about Korean food, I think the photography is so stunning, so evocative, and so inviting in your new book, Korea World. Did the same photographer do this book as did the previous one?
Yeah, I mean, I have to back up and really give Dookie a shout, because in San Francisco, he's running one of the most exciting restaurants, and I know your listeners are in the area. It's called Som. It's in the Dogpatch neighborhood of San Francisco.
Okay.
And, Dookie worked for years to open this, and it opened about, I would say, 3 months ago. And it's really like an articulation of what we've done in Korea World. It's showing this amazing culture, this cafe culture that we find in Seoul, and really expressing it with such a southern, I would say like a California sensibility. You can get, it's an all-day cafe. You can get incredible pastries. He's got an amazing lineup of bowls and sandwiches. And you walk into the space, and it's super dramatic, and it's got great, just such a cool design to it. And it feels like you're in a cafe in Seoul. So I definitely recommend you check it out.
Is it spelled S-O-M-A?
S-O-H-M.
Oh, S-O-H-M, Som.
Yep, you got it.
Okay, in San Francisco, the Dogpatch area.
Yeah, exactly.
So Korean World, did you actually go outside the U.S. to put this book together instead of the first one, which focused on Korean food strictly in the States?
Well, Steve, absolutely. It was essential when we decided to write a second book. And we started writing that book a decade later. And it was really important that we get to Korea. We had been many times previously, and during Koreatown, we went there. But with Korea World, we went in three separate trips, and the book is, it really unfolds. It starts in Korea, and we focus on dishes that you may not find in America as prevalently, but you're going to find them all over Korea. And we wanted to tell the story of modern Korean food through these recipes. And so we went to Seoul, and then we traveled outward, places like Jeju Island, Busan, and then Gangwon-do, up in the northeast. We went there as well.
This book, I want listeners to know, is not an academic type book. It is filled with joy and with humor. For example, imagine my surprise when I flipped open the book and found a recipe called Korean Airlines Bibimbap. I mean, that's wild. You normally would not be calling out an airline as serving anything that was presentable.
Well, here's that story, and wonderful choice to call that one out. If you travel to Korea on Korean Airlines, one of the meals is the bibimbap. I'm not going to say it's my favorite, but what is unique about that bibimbap is they give you a small tube of gochujang. But for those who know, and Dookie really led this idea because he obviously is a chef, it's not raw gochujang. There's something going on in that tube that is exactly the bibimbap sauce that we appreciate. So what we decided was in that tube. So basically, you get a bibimbap in a rice bowl, but then they give you a tube like toothpaste with this sauce that you squeeze around. It's quite fun to eat. what we decided is we wanted a dish that kind of really represented that moment, and we found that a great way to get that sauce is adding actually a meat, adding ground beef, a little bit of ground beef to the gochujang, and also with other components. Sesame oil is definitely in there, and garlic, and alliums like that. And we make that sauce the foundation of the recipe, because with a bibimbap, you can just do a rice bowl. You can do fresh vegetables or quick pickles with it, but it has that Korean airline style bibimbap sauce on it.
Uh-huh. You historically, I like that you spent time talking about how Korean food became popular, when it really first started resonating with chefs and with diners in general. And I think you wrote it in 2018, the Winter Olympics were held in Korea, and how many millions of people went to Korea to experience that and came away with wow, Korean food, who knew?
Yeah, no, it was a moment. It was a great moment for Korean culture when the Olympics were there in 2018. And it showed a lot of viewers that, Korea is not just one thing. It's many things.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll dive into the cookbook. It's Korea World, written by Matt Budbard and his writing partner, Dookie Hong. This won not only the best cookbook of the year, the prestigious Julia Child Cookbook Award, but also the best designed cookbook. It's really stunning, as was their first book. Look for both of them in the bookstore. I'm Steve Garner. We'll take a break. Be back in about 2 minutes and 30 seconds, so hang in there.
Got a drain that's clogged up? Or maybe a toilet? Or a faucet that just won't quit leaking? This is Austin, founder of More Home Services, and I want you to know that it does make a difference which plumber you call. At More Home Services, we respect your time by showing up when we say we'll be there. Our technicians are all background checked and drug tested, and we'll greet you with a smile. They're trained to do the job right the first time, and they carry over 1,000 parts on their trucks, so they won't have to order something and then come back later. They leave the work area cleaner than they found it, and your final bill will be the same as what they quoted. No surprises. So, if you need a plumber, it does make a difference who you call. Call More Home Services. Our number is 707-505-8000, or find us online at morehomeservices.com.
Treat you right, More Home Services.
Being homeless and hungry is all too common in Sonoma County. A warm, dry bed and a hot meal can make a big difference.
Being homeless and hungry on the streets is a sad, lonely, scary, and depressing feeling. A warm meal can mean the difference between feeling utter despair and depression and merely surviving to feeling some comfort, hope, love, and lifting your spirits enough to keep trying to do the next right thing to get out of the situation you're in and strive for better, for a life worth living.
The Redwood Gospel Mission returns to the Sonoma County Fairgrounds for the Great Thanksgiving Banquet on Wednesday, November 26th. Thousands of people will enjoy warm turkey dinners, fun activities, and a warm coat giveaway, too. Hundreds of pre-registered families will receive a traditional Thanksgiving meal to prepare at home. If you can, please drop off frozen turkeys at the Redwood Gospel Mission, 101 6th Street in downtown Santa Rosa, anytime up to Monday the 24th. Your help is greatly appreciated, and may we all have a happy Thanksgiving. For more information, go to srmission.org/gtb.
It's turkey season, and if you're not eating them, well, you must be feeding them. The Feed Store in Sebastopol has everything you need to care for those gobblers, as well as any other type of animal feed you may need. Equine, hog, sheep, goat, poultry, and of course, we're your one-stop shop for any and all of your canine and feline needs. We are the Feed Store, with more than 100 years of combined livestock and small animal feed knowledge and experience. Shop with confidence at the Feed Store in Sebastopol.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Pleasure chatting with Matt Rudbard this morning. Matt and Dookie Hong are authors of two award-winning cookbooks, Koreatown and the newest one, Korea World, a cookbook which just won two major cookbook awards at the award ceremonies from the International Association of Culinary Professionals. So we're talking about Korea World. And what I love about it is it took me out of my comfort zone. Every page had something startling and revelatory. I loved the chapter about the ghosts of Gwangju, the Buddhist temple cuisine, and these female divers. Would you talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, I mean, I love that section of the book. It's very cool. We went to Gwangju, which is in Jeollado, down in kind of the south central region of Korea. And we went to that monument that was it was a tribute to the victims of the Gwangju massacre in 1978. Mm-hmm. And it's a really ugly time in Korean history, but we wanted to bring, it's not just about cuisine and food. It really wanted to talk about the culture of Korea. So we acknowledge that. But the Hanyo are the name of the divers, the female abalone divers, which you'll find, you know, honestly, throughout Korea, you'll find them, you know, in Busan, you'll find them in Gangwon-do in the north, and you'll find them, as kind of a relic of older Korean style, of older traditions in Korea. And so we wrote about these women, and mostly women, you know, in their age in 50s and 60s, who dive very deep to harvest abalone, which are very prized in Korea. And honestly, it was, we got to meet with them and fish with them, and it was amazing.
It was a marvelous, marvelous revelation to me to find out that part of Korean culture. Are you from the Midwest originally?
Indeed, I am from the Midwest. I'm in fact in Ohio myself right now, so I'm definitely from the Midwest.
Well, the joy of this book is the discovery on every page, and that it takes us into the new world of Korean fusion food, and I think few of them could be better than the one on 249 that I'm looking at now. Not kimchi, but kimchi. Would you talk about kimchi?
I mean, kimchi, are you kidding me? I mean, it's what it says. It's kimchi and cheese that goes on many different things, but it's a great combination of flavors that works, I think, in a lot of ways. And I'm a huge fan of it.
And this was from Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, Tori Miller, a wonderful chef who is up there, James Beard winner many times over. And, you know, Tori is an old friend of Dookie and I's, and he did an amazing made amazing work up there cooking both Korean flavors and, you know, just farm-to-table cooking and but really a proud Korean American, and we wanted to make sure he had a representation in the book.
Well, when I was eating pimento cheese many decades ago, growing up in Kentucky, I never thought that pimento cheese would end up this way.
I know. It's amazing how food changes over time. I love pimento cheese, by the way, even with or without kimchi.
Well, that's part of the joy of this book, is the joy of discovery. And also some dessert ideas, like this banana milk cake that you have in the dessert section.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful recipe. From Dookie's, one of his former partners, Eileen, did it. And it's a beautiful pastry. And I think it represents how Korean pastry has actually evolved over the past couple decades. And you can find in Seoul some of the most wonderful vanisserie and pastry and plated desserts. And really, it's just kind of a small tribute to that.
And in that final chapter, along with the desserts, drinks, and more, are the snacks. Especially, I've got this one starred, the kimchi salted popcorn with nutritional yeast and shredded roasted nori, seaweed, and kimchi salt. That has to be a winner. And especially for Christmas coming up, why not what you call gyachugaru caramel corn?
Yeah. Right? Isn't that sound amazing? I mean, we have kimchi salt in our first book, and we wanted to use it. And so we expanded on the idea of kimchi salt and added it to popcorn with nori and our kim in Korean, and a lot of cool things in that mixed popcorn. But then, with the goju garu caramel corn, I think we like a lot of contrast in modern food. So we have the caramel corn is very sweet, but then you've got that nice spice, but not too much spice with the goju garu. I love that. I love that recipe. It's great for the holidays. I agree. It'd be a wonderful, Christmas morning. You wake up, you open up your gifts, pop in some goju garu caramel corn.
I'm loving it. Matt Rodbard, co-author along with Dookie Hong of Korea World, a cookbook. Also, their previous book, Koreatown. Look for both of them for some holiday gift-giving ideas. Matt, it was wonderful talking with you as always.
Always great to be on your show, Steve. I appreciate the time.
Keep us in the loop if you have another book in you and Dookie, okay?
I think we will.
Okay.
I think we will. Thanks, buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's it for the show today. Emily Ash Lamb back in the KSRO kitchen next week. Have a joyful, beautiful Thanksgiving.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. In November, we're celebrating our 58th year serving the folks of Sonoma County and visitors with a raffle. Winners will be announced on December 8th. Are you already thinking about your holiday feasts? We have everything you'll need for a delicious meal. November brings us some wonderful winter veggies like cabbage, broccoli, various greens, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash. You'll probably find some late harvest summer veggies as well. For your main course, we'll have plenty of beef, pork, lamb, and seafood. You can even pre-order goose for Thanksgiving or Christmas. To round out your holiday table, a charcuterie platter would be a nice addition. We have three different cheese vendors and local artisan salamis to complete your feast. It's also time to start your holiday gift shopping, and we have great crafts vendors to help. Woodwork, candles, and jewelry all make wonderful gifts. It's all there at the market every Saturday, 8:30 to 1 at Luther Burbank Center. Hope to see you there.
Simpson Sheet Metal is helping local kids become million-word readers through Read on Sonoma. 85% of students met their reading goal this year, nearly double from 3 years ago. Our students read more than 500...